I'm going to read you a story, and it came out right. Now I'm going to tell you why I think it came out right. It says in Luke chapter 19, if you would go, please, to verse 28. 19:28, and when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him, bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? They said, The Lord hath need of him. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace be in heaven and glory in the highest. Let's make our prayer. Dear Lord, I'm about to attempt what I cannot do. But you can do it. May our hearts be open. May our lives be good soil. May the sermon be helpful. May God be glorified. Save the lost and encourage the saved. And bless this conference. Lord, because of this meeting in this little town in West Virginia, may some that's never heard around this world hear about God's own Son. I thank you for it. I love you. And I pray in your precious name. Amen. It says in verse 31, because the Lord hath need of him. Down at verse 34, and they said, the Lord hath need of him. Do you believe the Lord could have need? When I first read that, I just couldn't quite grasp that. How could the Creator God have a need? I'll tell you why I think in a minute, but it seemed to me the word need and the word Lord wouldn't go in the same sentence and together. Then I got to thinking about that. The Lord in this story had a need of a colt, and he used men to satisfy his need. Then I got to thinking about it, and I read one time where the Lord had a desire to turn water to wine, and he had need of water, sent men for water. I read another place where he wanted to feed 5,000. He had need for food. He had need for sack lunch and some fishes and loaves, and a little boy took care of that need for him. And I read where one time the Lord wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead. He needed somebody to move the stone away. Somebody did. One time he needed a boat. He said to Peter, Can I borrow your boat? And Peter did. One time he wanted to come to the earth, and he borrowed a virgin's womb. And one time he wanted to leave the earth, and he borrowed a rich man's tomb. Yeah. What are you trying to say, Brother Keen? I'm saying that the Lord hath need. He has need here this morning. You know what he has need of? He has need of somebody to preach a sermon. So he got me to do that. He had need of somebody to sing a song, and he had these boys to do that, and somebody else sing an offertory, I sing a choir number, and somebody did that, and he wants somebody to take an offering, and we'll do that. The Lord hath need. So the question is, why does he have need? He's the Creator God. Can I tell you this? He's created nothing since the sixth day. So he's no longer in the role of creator. You know what that means, class? That means by the end of the sixth day, he had created enough material to see this world exist as long as there's time. Now think about that. So the question would be, well, if he created it, where'd he store it? Everything we need is somewhere right now in some form. And you make a faith promise or you want to do something for God, he didn't have to go up and get up and go to work so you can have more. It's already here somewhere. This colt was already here somewhere. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that this story here has to do with giving. Take giving out of this story, there's no story. Somebody gave a colt. Now, why would he put that in the Bible? What's the big deal? In fact, two times in this chapter it talks about these fellows giving. And every gospel records the story of these men giving. So you suppose he wants us to go out and buy a colt? I don't think so. Here's what I think. I think there's some giving principles in this story that we should not overlook. If we're going to take care of what he needs, there's some giving principles that we should not overlook. So I want to give you six giving principles from this story that will help us in our faith promise giving to missions. Number one, I want you to know, go to verse 30, and I want you to know from verse 30 that in this meeting, he may be asking you to give more than you've ever given. In this meeting, he may be asking you to give more than you've ever given. Look what it says in verse 30, saying, go into the village over against you, in the which, you entering, you shall find a colt tied, wherein yet man never sat. We might think that would indicate giving at a new level, a new experience, something you haven't done before. This verse speaks of the size of your giving or the distance you'll go in your giving. This is one of the biggest offerings Jesus ever asked man to give. How much will you give? How far will you go? Will you go where you haven't gone before? A man called me one time and said, Dr. Keene, I heard that you bought a new press. And we did. And he said, what can I do for you? And I said, well, you asked me. I didn't ask you. I need $1 million. He said, phew. He said, you know how to ask. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it, my father said. So I said, I need $1 million to buy paper. You know what he said? I never asked anybody for $1 million before. He said, my wife and I have just been talking about making $1 million gift. God knew that. I didn't know that. You know what he did? He took us where we'd never been before. And it wasn't 3 or 4 days that another man called me and said to me, I heard you got a new press. What do you need? And I said, well, that man gave me $1 million, but he said he'd like me to match it. He said, I'll match it. Now I'm up to $2 million. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that God may want you to do something bigger than you've ever done before. New ground. You know what he asked of Peter? He asked a boat. That's a pretty big request for a man who's a fisherman. he asked Peter to give something pretty big. So the whole point is, in this meeting, would you be afraid to go where you haven't been before by faith for him? So the first principle is, in this meeting, you may be asked to give more than you've ever given. Here's the second thing I want you to know. Look in verse 30 again. Saying, go ye into the villages over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find the colt tied. Now, watch it here now. God may ask you to give something that you have but not needing at present. What do you mean, Brother Keene? I mean, they had this colt, but evidently they didn't have anything right immediately to use it for. They found a colt tied. What would you be willing to free up that you're not using? Well, that's a pretty, for old guys, that's a pretty challenging statement. What would you be willing to free up that you're not at present using? They found a colt tied. Here's the third thing I want you to look at, and that is, I'll just read this verse to you because of time. You're going to have to make a decision. It says in Mark 11:4, this colt was tied up where two ways met. That would speak of decision. That colt was tied up where two ways met. That might suggest struggle. You might have to struggle with what you're going to give. Speaks of option. You might have to make an option of what you're going to give. What's the point, Brother Keene? The point is, you might have to decide. If you're like me, when I am in a meeting like this in my own church, I always have to decide what God is trying to tell me, because usually he's trying to tell me what I don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Brother Keene. Yes. So I trust that you'll not be afraid of obedience. Here's the next thing I want you to know. Look at verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus and cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread. Would you notice that these men's giving had influence? This story starts out with two men going to get a colt. Now we have all kind of people getting involved. It says here that they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come with nigh, even now to the descent of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Don't you see the growing of the involvement of the people? Started off a few, now we've got a whole crowd praising God and putting their coats on the colt and throwing their garments in the way. What caused that kind of reaction? The example of one giving. Yes. You know, I want to ask you a question. And I pastored 35 years, so I asked myself this question. Where do we learn that it's wrong to let others know what we give? Now, I know that verse that says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That refers to piano playing. Amen? You know what that really does refer to? Self-congratulations. And I know it's wrong if you're going to give and go around bragging about it. Of course that's wrong. But I got to thinking about that. They gave and caused a great reaction in the crowd. I wonder if what you give would cause others to decide, maybe that's a good plan. Maybe I'll try that. See, Brother King, I'm not going to argue with you, but I want to tell you this. In the Old Testament, they couldn't hide what they gave.
Right.
Where would you hide an ox? inside pocket, feet up. I mean, when a fellow in the Old Testament was obedient to the Lord in what he was giving, he didn't march it through the neighborhood and brag about it, but he couldn't hide it either. And I'm just saying that we need to not be afraid to share God's blessing with us, with others. This giving caused a promotion of the Lord in the lives of others. You know, do you ever wonder who? Do you ever read the Bible and wonder where you're at in it? That's fun to do that. I do that. In this story, who would you like to have been? You know who I'd like to have been? Those two guys that owned the colt. They're the source of it all. And I just suggest to you that our giving ought to encourage others to believe that God is faithful. And I know that because how do you win souls? You win souls by telling others what the dear Lord has done in your life. All right, here's the fifth thing I want you to write down. Here's the fifth principle that I learned. I learned that the giving is not an expenditure, it's an investment. Giving is not an expenditure, it's an investment. How do you know that, Brother Keene? Well, how about Luke 6:38? Give and it shall be given unto you. Why don't we believe that? Why don't we act on that? In the book of Proverbs, he said he'd fill our bins and barns full. In Malachi, he said he'd fill our barns. What are you getting at, Brother Keene? I'm saying that we need to see giving as an investment that will have a return and not an expenditure. Can I draw you a picture? Jesus said to them, "Can I borrow that colt?" And they gave it to him. And it caused a lot of good things to happen. But now the parade's over with. And the street sweepers have cleaned up the streets, and the people have picked up the garments and picked up the branches, and there stands that colt at the end of the road. Who's going to get him? I suggest the one who gave him.
Yes.
And so God is... That's an expenditure. Would you know this? If we're going to give right, we may have to allow God to redirect our plans. What does that mean, preacher? That means these men didn't have... Their plan for this colt was to plow. His plan for this colt was a parade. I think if we're going to give right, sometimes we've got to allow the Lord to redirect our plans. You think the little boy, with the loaves and fishes, you think he came there expecting to feed 5,000? I don't think so. I think he came there expecting to eat his lunch at lunchtime. And here, God had something else in store other than that. And so his little sack fed 5,000. This colt, he was used of God to magnify the Lord and accomplish the end in his life. So the question is, the Lord hath need of him. If we really believe that, would we give better? If we really believe that The Lord hath need. What is the need? The need is world evangelism. The need is going to all the world and preach the gospel. And what's holding that up? In many ways, the fact that the Lord doesn't have the funds to get it done. And where are they at? He's put those in our control. And now he's a creator God. And after he created for 6 days, he quit. He stored all he created in 6 days in the mountains and the oceans and in our lives. And now he's calling for it. He didn't, when he gave it to us, he didn't release ownership. He only asked us to be good stewards of it until he needed it. So does the Lord need this meeting? Is more than half the world without the gospel? And why is it? Is it because he doesn't love them? Is it because he doesn't know they're there? Why is half the world without the gospel, without the Bible, without its church, never heard a song, Christian song, and never seen a Christian man? Why is that true? Does God want them to? What's holding us up? In many ways, it's our giving pattern. In many ways, we're not loosing the colt and letting it go. So we're having this meeting, and the reason we're having this meeting is because the Lord hath need. And I guess the question is, will he have less need when this meeting is over with? Would you pray about what God would have you to do? Would you pray and ask God what you should do? He may ask you not to give, but he may ask you to go.
Right.
He may ask you not to put in the plate, but to get in the plate. Would you go to Hebrews just a minute with me, please? Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to show you a verse. In Hebrews chapter 10, just a minute here. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come into, in the volume of the book, is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now the question is, will he be satisfied with what you can give him, or will it take you going? You know, I don't see many folks anymore surrendering to missions. I've preached in over 300 churches, and I don't see many people saying, in essence, he will not be happy with me giving until I've given myself.
Right.
Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared. My wife and I, we've given a lot of money to missions. I'm sure that many of you have as well. But it was different when one day the Lord said, I'm not happy with what you're giving. I'd like to have one of your children. Well, I couldn't argue with him for that because he gave me one of his. And we're glad about it. But it's bittersweet. How much would he like you to give, and how will you respond? Do you ever get on your knees and give your children to him? When I was a young preacher, we used to have people come forward on their own volition and get on their knees and pray that young parents that God would help them to raise their children for him, and then he make the choice what they do with their lives. I don't see that much anymore. Maybe you've done that. I hope you have. You know what I have seen some now is grandparents coming asking God about their grandkids. If all we give is money, we haven't given all we could give and should give. The Lord hath need. Where, if the Lord can't look to us, where is he going to have that need cared for? So in this meeting, would you allow him to burden you with his need, and would you respond? Let's pray. Now, can I ask you these questions before I pray? How many of you here today are saved? Would you raise your hand real high if you're saved? Thank you. Is there anybody here that would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not mad at God, and I'm not an atheist. I'm not an atheist, and I'm just not never been saved." Would you pray with me about that? That I could be saved, trust Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand real high if I could pray with you about that? Anybody like that at all? Okay. Now, would you be willing this morning to be like those two guys who released the colt because the Lord had need? I have no idea what he wants from you, but he'll tell you, he'll let you know. He's asking you because he has need from you and supply from you. So I trust in his meetings you'll let him have his way and his will in your life about your giving. He might ask something small. He might ask something big. But he will take care of it. Dear Lord, the Lord hath need. You made it clear what you wanted from them. Now make it clear what you want from us. Lord, this story turned out wonderfully well because you were rejoicing as the crowd was praising you. May this meeting turn out well because you'll be able to be known to others who at this point you're not known by. God, I pray you'd call someone. I pray somebody would say, "Here am I, send me." I pray, Lord, we'd all review our giving and realize there's more to do now than there was this time last year, and we need to give more. I thank you for it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.